The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us soon.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Oh, you insulting tongue, it mocked my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yay!
And I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And it's just us two tonight, as Seeing Dirt is down in the sunny state of Florida, enjoying beaches.
And Hogwarts.
And Roddy Cat is back on the work grind.
Mm-hmm.
But we will keep you entertained for this hour, hour and a half-ish
show. However long it takes us.
That's right. Make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. I think I'm going to cut down on all the plugging at the beginning of the show. I've been thinking about that today. All you need to do is just go to theclicknation.com. You can find how to follow us on all the social media websites. Check out the new redesign for theclicknation.com.
Yes, the new logo is nice.
Finally pushed that out this week. There's a newsletter section on there. Make sure to go subscribe to our newsletter. We won't spam you. We'll only periodically send you updates and articles that you, in case you miss them, might need to check out, or any pertinent information.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's see what's going on in the cinematic news for the week. Let's go back to the top of the spreadsheet here. Stephen Amell from Arrow is hopeful for a Supergirl crossover.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense now, especially now that the Flash has done it, right?
Yeah. Of course, it's a little easier for the Flash to jump multiverses. Arrow, maybe some magic involved. Maybe a team up with the Flash.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's some spoilers revealing who is and isn't in the grave on Arrow. I haven't checked that out.
I don't watch Arrow, so so I couldn't tell you who is being threatened to be dead.
I watch it and I'll intend on
unknowing.
Yeah, unknowing.
Gotcha.
There's still the push to renew Young Justice hashtag on social media and have it revived by Netflix.
Let me try this one because this one looks like it's a little fun. So Gambit is reportedly pulled from the release schedule as two untitled Fox Marvel films have gotten release dates. So according to the box office Twitter account via Comic Book Movie, the Gambit film will no longer open on October 7th as originally planned and has not yet been rescheduled. In its stead are two untitled 20th Century Fox Marvel films that are now tentatively scheduled for October 6th, 2017 and January 18th, 2018. You know, this is one of the X-Men spinoff movies that I don't think many people have been asking about, but Channing Tatum is, you know, the driving force behind the movie. So that's why they're still, you know, it's still in development. And even though it may have lost its release date, there's still, you know, there's still movement behind the scenes trying to get this movie done. So Roddy Cat, and, you know, for those of us, for those of the audience who like to follow along in our show notes, Roddy Cat has a nice little synopsis here, a summary of some of the brief history, the trouble history of the Gambit movie production.
Alrighty. Let's see. The X-Men TV show Legion cast the lead's Katie Azleton, who according to reports will be the older sister to Steven's character David Haller.
Well, you know who Legion is, right? Like, it's supposed to be the son of Moira McTaggart and Charles Xavier. So I'm kind of surprised.
So who's his sister?
Exactly. Like, where does
this... Was it Cassandra Nova, or was she his twin?
That was the twin. That was Xavier's twin.
See, that the whole Cassandra Nova being introduced happened when I had took my hiatus from comics.
Yeah,
from college. So
in the Grant Morrison period, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Falk Henschel and Ciara Renee tease Hawkman's return in DC's Legends of Tomorrow. There's reports that Finn Jones's Iron Fist will first appear in Netflix's Luke Cage.
That makes sense.
And I don't think it's technically been confirmed that Finn Jones is cast as Iron Fist. Marvel hasn't, as far as I've seen, hasn't come out to confirm the reports, but Deadline, I believe, had the scoop on it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's going off of their initial report. This news was news to me, and being a fan of the movie, I'll be curious to watch this when it comes out in 2017. But Big Hero 6 is coming to Disney XD.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
In 2017.
That's one of those movies that you kind of keep on, you know, saved on your tablet, even though, you know, you may be like moving stuff around to make space. Mm-hmm. I like having that, you know, like it's a fun kind of movie to kind of like jump in and out of. You know, and I've already revealed the fact that I still keep a copy on my tablet.
Okay. Grant Ward's villain identity in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. revealed. I didn't really know that it was a big thing. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's always, when it was on, it's always background noise for me, so mm-hmm. I haven't fully followed the storyline.
Right. I mean, what's cool about it is that they're obviously tapping into Hickman's Secret Warriors series, and so many of these characters were introduced during that run. It's been a while since I've actually read the series, so when they revealed who Ward's character is actually the Marvel Cinematic Universe equivalent of, you know, I was kind of surprised. But you know, we'll see how it goes. It was kind of out of left field. I thought it might be a more prominent villain, but like I said, they're really farming the Secret Warriors book for their character. So, ultimately, anything that keeps the show moving forward is good. I think they announced today. I don't think Roddy had a chance to update this particular bit of news. They announced today that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has officially been renewed for a fourth season. So we've got confirmation of that today.
ABC announced the renewals for a bunch of shows. Fresh Off the Boat, How to Get Away with Murder, Quantico, Once Upon a Time. Those are the only ones I remember off the top of my head.
Hmm.
The Star Wars The Force Awakens will be available to own early on digital HD and Disney Movies Anywhere on April 1st, and then the Blu-ray combo pack and DVD on April 5th.
Wow, that's soon.
Hey.
Why does it feel like that's like right around the corner, right? It is.
It's a month.
Dang.
Early birthday present for me.
Seriously.
And CBS's Star Trek revival as Gene Roddenberry's son as executive producer.
All right, keeping in the family.
You want to do the first ad read?
I will do the first ad read. Our first ad read is for Busted Tees. This episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles show is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as BB-8 Like, Thumbs Up, and Droid Evolution from Star Wars The Force Awakens, Brick and Morty from Rick and Morty as Legos, Bernie Larry 2016, pretty, 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 pretty good. Curb Your Enthusiasm. I probably butchered that particular impression. And Samojis, the many faces of Samuel L. Jackson as emojis. And much more are on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us, that's cspn.us, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner, and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today. Ching, ching! All right.
So in comic news, we get our first look at Marvel's Free Comic Book Day books.
Ooh, I haven't seen this yet.
I haven't either, and there's no link to it. So I guess I don't get a first look.
There is a link to it.
Is there?
There is.
I have to double-click to get to it. Okay.
It's comicvine.gamespot.com. Yeah, look at that. Everything's related. Yeah, exactly.
How's it look? Are you checking it out now?
Yes, I have it open. They're showing us the Civil War II number one cover. It's an image that we've seen on the internet recently. It's War Machine and Captain Marvel blasting at Thanos. There are a couple of preview images from Pages Inside. There is preview art from Captain America number one, the Free Comic Book Day issue. Looks like we're going to be hunting these down. And that's it. But yes, this is out, and you can see what some of the new Captain America art by Jesus Saez or Saez looks like.
Okay. I'm finally checking out the Grant Ward reveal from a couple news stories ago. The site finally opened for me. All right, that's interesting.
Right, like I said, you know, it's familiar enough to where you at least see the visual, you know, the character, and you're like, oh yeah, I sort of remember that, but the character doesn't really strike any other chords with me. So,
and that it did appear in Secret Warriors.
Yes.
Okay. See, I need to finish that. I only read the first arc.
Okay.
On Unlimited.
Yeah, I mean, Secret Warriors. You know, just on a quick tangent, Secret Warriors did sort of suffer from crossover, you know, from the ills of line-wide crossovers at Marvel. So I don't know if Hickman had a chance to really tell the story he wanted to tell in the form that he wanted to tell. He probably had to incorporate some of these crossovers in. So it does, you know, it does come out a little choppy, but it's a pretty good read overall. It's just that some of the crossover issues are kind of out of place.
Okay.
All right.
Dark Horse.
We have Dark Horse is publishing a 25th anniversary edition of Dave McKean's Cages. So this is a book that was originally published by Tundra. It famously cost more to print than it did to buy, and the more successful it got, the more it cost to the publisher. So it was finished and later collected by Kitchen Sink in 2009. It was republished by Dark Horse, and this year we'll receive a 25th anniversary edition with an introduction by Terry Gilliam.
Cool. Gentle Giant to release statues based on Scotty Young's art.
Yes. There's a really cute looking Thanos in this. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You know, Scotty Young has been doing a lot of work with Marvel, especially with the variant covers, you know, like with the, you know, kind of like Chris Giarrusso's art, but, you know, like slightly more, you know, like in a different style. So now they're making statues based on the art. So click on the link and take a look at some of the previews.
Retailer exclusive covers to be launched for Star Wars Poe Dameron #1.
Wait a second. Yeah, tell me you're going to be hunting down the retailer exclusive covers for Poe Dameron #1. Seriously, people.
I don't know. The Phil Noto cover is probably going to be pretty nice.
I guess.
By itself.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the character just didn't, you know, wasn't that engaging. So I don't know why. I mean, listen, I guess this is the true test for the character. Hopefully they can create a new, a compelling backstory for him.
That's the idea. Not sure about this next story. The classic DC Comics hits keep on coming from Twitterhead. The company just announced the Batman Classics Collection based on the art of Dick Sprang will finally get Batman.
Okay.
I have no idea what this is.
It's a toy thing, maybe? They're maquettes, yeah. Toy, or statues? All right.
And back to Poe Dameron.
Oh, enough with Poe Dameron.
Celebration. It's a celebration, bitches.
It's like we're being force-fed Poe Dameron.
Yes. Beast is coming to Marvel Heroes. So the next couple of stories are video game related. We went from toys to video games.
Even the Loki one?
Oh, no. I forgot that was thrown in there.
All right. Well, let's try to sum up the video game ones. So the Beast is coming to Marvel Heroes. I guess he wasn't there earlier. So now he's a playable character in Marvel Heroes, the game. And there's also been an announcement that there's no new Disney Infinity game coming this year, but there's going to be a lot of additional content available. And the Black Panther is finally coming to Disney Infinity, obviously as part of cross-promotion for Captain America Civil War.
And Kamala Khan enters Marvel's Mobile Battle.
Ah, there you go, in the Contest of Champions.
And is that the last one?
Oh, real quick, I saw that there's a new story here that you just skipped over. Image Comics announces the official Walking Dead coloring book, which is hysterically funny, right?
So apparently publisher Eric Stevenson doesn't mind coloring book variants, just all their variants from the other comic book publishers. Because, you know, he's all anti-variants. I ruined the business.
Yeah. Shout out to Matt Wang, who's tweeting at us and listening live. He's claiming that he saw me at Midtown Comics ordering the variant covers for the Poe Dameron series. I object. That was not me. It was someone who looked maybe a lot like me.
Now back to the original story. Didn't we skip something? Oh, yeah. Vote Loki 2016. Hello? You there, Agent 70, having technical difficulties, perhaps? Agent 70, can't hear you. Testing, testing. I'm going to keep talking. Wait, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back. You can hear me now, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Sorry about that, Gremlins.
So Marvel wants you to vote.
What happens when Poe Dameron comes, right?
For president. So he's going to have a new series this summer.
Who's this, Loki?
Yeah, in June.
All right.
And Roddy adds a note. I mean, I take Loki over anybody actually running the devil, you know.
Oh, no.
I agree.
Yeah. That's funny. That is funny.
Kamala Khan to take on bullying a new Miss Marvel Fist of Fury chapter book.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel heroines invade Games for Women of Power event. Beginning Thursday, March 3rd, which is today, Marvel Games will be releasing new characters and content featuring Marvel's Women of Power across its portfolio of mobile, console, handheld, and PC game titles. The event coincides with Marvel Publishing's Women of Power initiative, which will feature 25 new comic covers for Marvel's most popular female characters.
Cool. Yeah.
DC to reveal more rebirth details at WonderCon.
That's,
we talked about that last week.
Is that this week? Oh, no. It's Saturday, March 26th. Okay, so it's a few weeks away.
I need to put that on my calendar.
Yep.
26th, what day is that? That is
Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
But it's that weekend. Right, it's the weekend of the 26th.
Okay, so I can actually watch the live stream.
Yep.
Wait a minute, 26th. Batman Superman comes out 25th.
Right, that weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited for that now. I read an article on Entertainment Weekly before the show. They got to do some behind-the-scenes looks and interviews and whatnot, and it got me hyped. And then it also occurred to me that the movie comes out in 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to start making plans for it.
Yeah, I won't be on the show that Thursday night. Let's put it that way. I don't know if y'all having a show. I'll be watching Batman v Superman.
Maybe we'll do a show that Saturday during WonderCon. We'll like do live. We'll do a live stream of the stream.
Live stream of us reacting to the stream.
Exactly.
I actually kind of like that idea.
How much bandwidth is that going to need?
Yeah, I was going to say, who knows how long the freaking thing's going to last. Yeah, I need to see what time that thing actually kicks off Eastern time.
Right.
Comic-Con bots to include exclusive Captain America number 7 75th anniversary variant by Mahmoud Azrar in May.
Cool.
And along those same lines for Sam Wilson, Captain America number 7, Josh Whedon will reunite with John Kesty for that same anniversary issue.
Right. They're working on a backup story in that big anniversary issue. And what's cool is that, one, this has been confirmed with Marvel. And, you know, it was kind of not troubling, but maybe concerning. Maybe that's the best way to put it. When you listen to some of the things that Whedon said post-Avengers, Age of Ultron, saying, you know, I'm done with the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just seemed like he was a little burnt out, but it's kind of nice to see him come back to the comics and say, you know what, I'm going to contribute, you know, in this fashion.
Hey, still a fan of the comics.
Exactly.
So that's it for comic book news. And see, in variant news, there's all 7 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 1 variant covers. And I believe one of them is actually 200.
Did you say 7 or 17?
17.
Wow.
And one of them is like $200.
What?
Roddy Cat and I were talking about it last night. Oh, and he's got a note here. Apparently there are like 25 of them. So not 17. Interesting. That's a lot of books.
Yeah, absolutely. 17 of them. Jeez.
And last ad read for tonight is for Audible. For you, the listeners of Comic Book Chronicles, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can pick from such books as The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea by Chris Jericho, The King of New Orleans, How the Junkyard Dog Became Professional Wrestling's First Black Superhero by Greg Klein, Jurassic Park 25th Anniversary Edition by Michael Crichton, and more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles. Again, that's audibletrial.com/comicbookchronicles for your free audiobook.
Do it today!
Indeed.
Cool.
Close those tabs. And we will be reviewing some books.
Yes, sir.
Do we want to start with the big Avengers book?
Yeah, you know what? We should, because it's probably going to involve a little bit of discussion here. And what we're talking about specifically is the kickoff. Well, not technically the kickoff. It's the first real issue of the Standoff crossover.
Correct. And that would be Avengers Standoff, Assault on Pleasant Hill Alpha. And the story basically follows the three Captain Americas, Steve Rogers, Bucky Barnes, and Sam Wilson as they're investigating. I guess the beginning of it is Bucky hijacking various S.H.I.E.L.D. Compounds across the world
trying to basically
gather information.
Yeah, I was about to say basically it's the premise is that Bucky's taking down a bunch of secret S.H.I.E.L.D. installations. Not that any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. installations are going to be, you know, declassified, but you know these are a little bit more deep cover than even like the random S.H.I.E.L.D. bases. So you know it's the threat level that Bucky poses is already, you know, at least Spencer's trying to raise that, and you know we see what Bucky's trying to dig for, and that is this the construct that is Pleasant Hill.
And he's joined by on art by Jesus Saez, coming over from DC.
Right.
I like this work. I like how sort of well formed his body structures are.
Mm-hmm.
And not sure if he did I forget if he did the coloring himself on it, but the color work is just sort of pops and it's vibrant, sunny in a way.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, like it definitely creates a mood. There's a couple of moments in this that were just pretty well executed. One of them was the opening scene on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier Iliad, where some kind of low level S.H.I.E.L.D. mooks basically break into a top secret bridge of the helicarrier, and they do something pretty funny. You know, which is pull up something that, you know, illegal cable boxes are generally used to do.
And we find out who the Whisperer is that's been helping Sam over in Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Right. And anyway, I was surprised. Were you surprised?
Yeah, sure. I like that they didn't, like, stretch it out. It was just like, oh, here it is. Here this person is.
Exactly. So, you know, although it was kind of contrived that this person gained this particular set of abilities as a result of losing another set of abilities, I thought that was kind of silly, but without spoiling too much.
I like, of course, we knew this from Spencer's superior foes to Spider-Man and Ant-Man, but he writes such witty dialogue. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Maria Hill so cracking the wise jokes, being so sarcastic.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I didn't mind. I could see other people maybe having issues with it, but it didn't bother me at all.
Well, you know what? I think it's supposed to come off as kind of snarky, you know, because she's supposed to be kind of sticking it to the way things used to be in the world and in the Marvel Universe, and that, you know, rehabilitation, you know, the premise is that, spoiler alert, they found at least S.H.I.E.L.D. is using a different means to try to incarcerate and possibly rehabilitate supervillains. And, you know, the old ways obviously don't work because, you know, much like in the DC universe, the Joker always breaks free of Arkham, right? So in the Marvel universe, these villains tend to, you know, keep getting recycled and breaking out of the vault or the raft. So, you know, Maria Hill and S.H.I.E.L.D. has tried to find a different way of dealing with these supervillains. And, you know, I think, you know, at least feeling like she's succeeded brings up that level of snark. And that's why she kind of, I can hear her talking like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of so a little bit of self-righteous and a little bit of like kind of patting herself on the back. Like, look at what we did. Look at what we've accomplished. So that's why it's sort of, it made it sound more believable to me that the character would come off like that.
And what else would we have in here? We had the villains making their move.
Yeah.
The hero chess pieces being moved where they need to, so now that it can go and stories be told and followed up on in the various satellite titles, Avengers, all different Avengers, Captain America, Sam Wilson, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Illuminati, mm-hmm. Uncanny Avengers, New Avengers, yada, yada, yada.
Right. Right, so this is basically going into March and April. So it's not too long. It covers another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 comics total.
Still seems like a lot. It's a short amount of time, but the amount of books included, since it's like 4 or 5 books a month.
Right.
But
ultimately, ultimately, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal to read.
I just feel it'll be weird that it'll end. I need to see, is it ending right before Civil War II begins? Because it's going to be like, no, even though it's not a universe-wide event, it does feel like it's still a big event. So it's not a big event, but it is, just because it deals with the Avengers books. I guess if you're not reading Avengers, it doesn't really bother you.
Right. So. All right. See, is there anything else here? No, I think that's it. I think we covered it. I do like the art by Jesus, you know, forgive me for butchering his last name, Saez or Saez.
Yeah. We do the best we can.
Yeah.
We apologize in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 There is one line in here. Where did I read that? Was it which book was it? I don't know if it was this book or maybe it was Uncanny Avengers, where they talk about Steve Rogers always looks like he's constipated.
I think it was here. Cause I
was it here?
Okay. Yeah, it had to have been because I haven't read Uncanny Avengers yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the one with the undercover villain going back to his hideout.
Right, having to
confirm if it was actually Rogers or not.
Right. So, yeah, that's it. That's funny. All right, so maybe we'll stick with the other books that we both read. How about Invincible Iron Man number 7?
Man, this was a wordy book.
You know what? This had to happen because, believe it or not, you know, maybe we sell Mary Jane Watson short, but we haven't really seen her around, and we sort of needed to understand what level she was going to be at in this book in terms of, you know, how she's going to be a sparring partner with Tony Stark. You know, Bendis really needed to establish that she was going to be on equal footing with Tony Stark in this book. So I think this was a necessary evil.
Yeah, she had her own. And I do like the setup of Tony revealing how he's always thinking ahead. So, like, every conversation he's already had in his mind for the most part.
Right. And it's one of those things that makes him late to everything, too.
Yes.
So he's always, you know, he's never in the moment. So then he finds himself 40 minutes late to a lot of things that are important. And I kind of got tired of that because I'm late to some things too. And when people bug me about that and they're like, my time is valuable, I want to throw them out the window. So
yeah.
I'm like, shut up, Mary Jane, with that 40 minute stuff.
Did you notice the little spheres that were flowing around during that conversation and what was inside them?
I did. I did not. I was on the train reading this, so I didn't really zoom in. What was in them? Spoiler alert. Hold on.
I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler because a lot of it, some of them I couldn't make out, but it seemed like Tony's keeping tabs on the Marvel Universe, like Ms. Marvel's in some, Spider-Man's in some.
Oh, okay.
Previous Doctor Doom was in one, and like the art style was like old school Doctor Doom.
Okay.
So that is like curious. It's like, what's he looking at here? Especially now that we know Dr. Doom is walking around in business suits with his mask off.
Right.
So where is this image of Doom coming from?
Archives, maybe.
Yeah.
Could be.
So that was interesting. See, I was trying to pick out clues for, since it's like on the front cover, it builds itself as, you know, lead up to Civil War II, mm-hmm. you know, clues inside. So I was trying to pick out clues and what could be a clue or and what couldn't be. Like, I took the whole, when Friday popped up and her and Mary Jane and Tony were having a conversation, and I think Friday made some kind of reference to doing something, and Mary Jane replied back, you know, you don't want your AI saying stuff like that.
Oh, taking over the world.
Yeah, taking over the world. I was like, is Friday going to do something in Civil War or lead up to Civil War? It would seem kind of early since he's just been introduced to the reader.
Right.
Different Marvel, but you never know.
You never know.
And we catch up with Rhodey captured by this strange woman.
Yes. I think that's a pre-existing character. I don't think that's a new one.
Okay. I don't know who it is either way.
Yeah. I think it's a pre-existing villain.
And apparently she has the power. I don't know if it's to control metals or just pull metal off of things and off of Rhodey. But she did pull the War Machine armor off of him. And then we catch up with just some random woman at the end of the issue that happens to have what armor in her apartment, right?
Hold on. My audio blinked out. I completely missed what you just said. That's awful.
I said we caught up with the woman who has War Machine armor in her apartment, apparently.
Oh, yes. Yes. I guess we'll find out who that is, too.
Yeah, next issue. And that's more than likely that definitely has something to do with Civil War, would be my guess, at least. I haven't been crazy about who's the artist on this? Blanking. Deodato?
Yeah, I mean he's a long standing Marvel artist.
His Tony Stark.
Remember he was doing. Yeah, I was about to say, but remember he was doing Spider-Man for a long time.
And he did Dark Avengers too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I normally don't mind his art, but like last issue and this issue, it just looks weird. I assume it's the same color as Frank Martin. I assume that's who he's always worked with.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just seems a little off.
Okay.
But
all right. I mean. I'm familiar enough with his art where I guess I'm just used to it, but I guess it's kind of a departure from Marquez.
Yeah, who's getting ready for Civil War II.
Exactly. All right, let's see.
You read Spider-Man 2, right?
I did. So Spider-Man 2 is the direct follow-up to the big battle that Miles Morales has with the son of Mephisto, aka Blackheart, in issue number one. And you know, there's some interesting things that get followed up on in this. One, you know, this is the direct aftermath of the first round of this battle, and I say first round because Blackheart's not exactly down and out or completely defeated at the end of the first issue. You know, there's a couple of developments. Obviously, the thing that you see on the cover, and I wish Doug were here to flash the cover for the viewers of the show. What you see on the cover is Miles holding up Cap's shield, and that does actually happen at the end of the first issue, and it's happening again in this issue. You know, we have Peter Parker making an appearance and basically, you know, giving his blessing to, or at least we get a recap of the blessing given to Miles Morales.
I did enjoy seeing the reason why.
Sure. There's a couple of cool things in here. I think one of the developments that's probably most important to this is that, you know, we get a little bit of character development, or at least an introduction of the Miles Morales Spider-Man to the greater Marvel Universe after he incurs some battle damage.
I liked seeing back in the flashback how the art changed. It was sort of like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Peter has his little daydreams. It's like the chibi baby.
Yes.
Versions.
Yes. I guess, I didn't realize that that's what that was sort of meant to evoke, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's that what it was supposed to. It didn't dawn on me until I said it just now. I did notice the art change, but it didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize that it was supposed to be reminiscent of what's on the cartoon.
Right. So that was funny.
Right.
And Sarah Pichelli draws a nice Tony Stark and Captain America, Sam Wilson. Both of those, like, they looked fierce.
You came from pooping all over Deodato to praising Pichelli in the span of two comics, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, Pichelli's art is clean, and obviously Justin Ponsor's coloring on this, really makes her art pop. Again, like I said, you know, I mentioned that there's a little bit of a character development here in the introduction of Miles to the Marvel Universe proper that comes due to some battle damage that he incurs, you know, and all goes all over YouTube. So, and we find and we end with a family member staging a mild intervention because Miles is not keeping up with his studies.
Yeah.
So
mixing in the superhero drama with the personal life teen drama.
Sure. Listen, if that's what you're looking for, read this book.
Yep. All right. You want to get some of what you've read?
Sure. I will just touch on is one of the easiest books to read this week. And what I'm referring to is Black Widow number one by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. I wanted to touch on the hip hop cover that is by Phil Noto. Hold that up here. It's an homage to, I believe it's the Missy Elliott album, Super Duper Fly, I think.
I might have to get that. I tried to see if Second Charles had it for a regular price, but they were sold out, and my comic shop had it for $6.99.
Yeah, so not the biggest markup, yeah.
It wasn't too bad, so if it's still there when I go next week, I may have to pick it up.
Well, basically, we start the book off with spoiler alert. Natasha has been declared a fugitive of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's basically being hunted down. And what we find out is that she's basically boosted something from S.H.I.E.L.D. More than likely that she's boosted it for somebody. Someone has asked her to steal this particular item from S.H.I.E.L.D. And the entire issue is her getting away from her S.H.I.E.L.D. pursuer, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent pursuers, and escaping from a helicarrier. So there's really not much in the way of dialogue in this issue. It's a lot of action. It's a lot of, you know, secret agent versus secret agent action. And we finally, you know, get to a point where the Black Widow has to, it's not obvious. It's not, we don't know for sure whether or not she's had to basically take another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent's life in order to fulfill this particular mission. But, you know, she basically gets to that point where she has to, you know, really lay the, you know, lay the smackdown in order to get away from S.H.I.E.L.D. and continue on this mission to deliver whatever it is that she's stolen to whomever it is that's asked her to steal it. So that's the setup. It was effective. I would have appreciated a little bit more of a story setup in the first issue, but in terms of just an overall setup of what the premise of the opening arc is, it's fair. It's fair. I wouldn't say it's great, but I like Sam Neill's art. You know, he does a great, you know, we remember seeing his layouts in Daredevil. He does a great job of laying out action and panel sequences so that the action definitely does flow very smoothly. You can follow it along the page. It's not very difficult at all. It's very easy, in fact, to find out, you know, to follow the action on the page. So in terms of visual storytelling, it's awesome. I think the spare dialogue and the spare storytelling kind of leaves you wanting just a little bit, but I think Samney just does enough so that you'll be coming back for the next issue. I will be. Hopefully I didn't spoil too much.
No, it's very nice. It'll be one I get to this weekend, hopefully.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. What else do we have?
Well, you did one. I can touch on a comic that you didn't read, but I did. That would be Sheriff of Babylon number 4.
Nice.
We had some big developments happen last issue. Sophia was in a armored car explosion, and Nasir has been kidnapped. I like the little intro story of like a Sophia telling a tale from her culture's, you know, I guess something they tell the kids growing up, and how it sort of reflects on her state today as she's getting checked for her wounds. Mm-hmm. Christopher has a interesting encounter with the young kid selling him a piece of carpet or a rug. Nasir, something happens with him and his kidnappers. I won't spoil that, but
okay.
It's intense. And then everyone getting together at the end to sort of plot a plan of action. Mitch Gerard's art and colors are, again, top-notch here. He even, in the back of the issue, at least if you read the physical, he gives some background on how he works off of Tom King's scripts.
Nice.
Like I said in my review, which you can read on theclicknation.com, I always kind of hesitant to review Sheriff of Babylon just because I'm not sure if I can review sort of real-world military stories accurately.
Okay.
But I did my best. But
yeah, but ultimately it's about whether or not it tells an effective story. So,
well, it's just so much to sort of remember. And like, okay. A lot of stuff, like sort of the things going on, I don't understand at times. This issue, it wasn't so hard because it all just kind of flowed seamlessly for me. But like, I think it was maybe issue 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was a harder read for me just because I wasn't sure what was going on. But issue 4 is definitely a good, easy read.
All right, cool. Hopefully I can catch up.
Yeah. You want to take one?
Yeah, pretty much the only other book I read this week. I didn't have a lot of time. I read Darth Vader number 17. It is another chapter in this in the story of Darth Vader dealing with a rebellion by a group of ore miners, you know, suppliers of a valuable ore to the Empire. And they're rebelling against the Empire, and Darth Vader has been sent to quell this particular rebellion. And this issue is, you know, basically Darth Vader dealing with this rebellion personally, while also trying to find out, or maybe I missed an issue of what happens to Dr. Aphra, or maybe, in the other Star Wars book, Dr. Aphra is still prisoner, if I'm not mistaken. Are you up to date on that, Tim?
Yes.
Oh,
last issue ended with Vader getting bounty hunters to go after her.
Oh, okay, all right. So I didn't miss too much. All right, because I didn't have time to really backtrack and make sure I was up to date before I dove into this. So the bottom line is, Darth Vader still, he's issued this bounty while dealing with this smaller rebellion, and that's what this issue does. It's good in the sense that it's consistent with what's come before. LaRocca's art is always as sharp, as detailed. It's Darth Vader. You recognize that it's Star Wars. You recognize that it's Vader. There is no issue with, art that's kind of muddy or undecipherable. This is absolutely on point. But I find myself, or at least my interest and my recollection in some of the secondary characters kind of wavering. Maybe it's because I like Aphra, but I don't know if I'm so keen on, this particular story arc, because I don't really, find these fake, spoiler alert, these fake, they're not fake Jedi, but they're lightsaber wielders who are enhanced cybernetically.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just don't find these characters are unappealing. Maybe that's what's, that's the barrier I have to get past in order to really appreciate the story.
I like that, especially at least last issue, the sort of quiet, no speech balloon panels from Salvador LaRocca. Really, his character acting is great in Vader. Like the
layouts.
The way he angles the camera on Vader. Mm-hmm. Vader can just say like three words in a panel, but he just looks so menacing. Just the way that LaRocca.
Yeah, the camera view. Yeah, absolutely. Sets
the camera up.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, I'll do my last two very quickly from DC. Batgirl 49. I kept seeing a bunch of hype over this yesterday, so I finally got to it right before the show, read it, finished it. I didn't see what the hype was about, so I went and read a review on a comic website to get the deal, and supposedly, okay. I guess they erased some stuff from Batgirl's history. Basically, it's kind of confusing. Someone from her past has been toying with her and erasing her memory. And for those who don't know, in the New 52, she's been set up with this like photographic memory where she remembers every little thing. And the
really?
Last issue, she's been having these memory lapses. And come to find out, this guy, Fuge, I think his name is.
Fugue? Yeah, Fugue. Like a fugue state.
I've never heard that word before in my life.
Yeah. Fugue state is like being in a state of confusion and maybe
confusion,
cloudy,
I know, but fugue,
yeah, kind of being in a clouded, I'm going to Google this because I'm afraid I'm going to mischaracterize what fugue.
You're describing it exactly how this person is and as the villain here. So it's like he's taking over Barbara's mind. So Black Canary and Barbara's best friend, Frankie, who's being set up as the new Oracle, Frankie mostly has to go in her mind and try to piece her fragile mind state back together.
Okay. So
it's like she's in her mind and being attacked by the Fuge guy, and all these false memories are being implanted in her. They have to fight back. And then in the previous story arc, Frankie downloaded downloaded, I guess, a copy of Barbara's brain waves because mm-hmm. something similar happened before. So she tries to take that and put it back in her mind. It doesn't work. So basically they take the previous copy and the new copy and sort of merge them together to make her new brain. And she recovers. She gets her future Birds of Prey cohorts of Frankie, Black Canary, Bluebird, Spoiler together to go fight this guy now.
I almost hit the spoiler bell. Almost. As soon as you said it.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. And there's a bunch of various artists on this, which I thought was going to be an issue when I first saw like 8 people's names listed on the front cover.
Okay.
But it's more of a thing of Babs Tarr does the main story, and inside Batgirl's brain, various artists take over, and it makes sense because it's in her mind and it's, weird, wacky layouts mm-hmm. and whatnot. And then Green Lantern number 50, I kind of just flipped through it because I had it. because I haven't been reading Green Lantern at all. Hal Jordan,
so it's a big anniversary issue. What happened? Yeah.
Hal Jordan's on Earth, still got his little trench, his 90s trench coat.
Oh, God.
And his Nintendo Power Fist glove, Power Fist glove. Goodness. But Parallax, apparently, Parallax from the past comes to the future. Parallax possessed Hal Jordan.
Yes.
Or Hal Jordan possessed Parallax. He goes from, I think he goes from right after Coast City is destroyed and goes to the future and encounters Hal, and they get to arguing and fighting, and, you know, I'm the real Hal Jordan, and, you know, I'm above fear, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, nothing really happens except at the end. If I remember correctly, I think both versions of Hal merge together, and Hal, like, is in there looking confused, and then it says, you know, to be continued next issue.
I'm already confused. That's crazy.
Yeah. So.
That's crazy. Well, you know what? I was flipping through. It looks like we've reached the end of our comics that we've read this week, and we're going to hit our clicks of the week in a second. I wanted to mention something I picked up. I don't know if it was out this week or if it came out within the last couple of weeks. I picked up one of these newfangled adult coloring books. But I specifically picked this one up because it is of Jim Lee art. It is Batman Hush, Volume 1.
Interesting.
Right. So it's a coloring book. But what's cool about this, at least from the perspective of someone who dabbles a little bit in sketching and drawing, is that what it gives you is, while it also gives you the black and white art to color in, it gives you the black and white art to take a look at and see what the inked page looked like without all the colors. So it really gives you an idea of what the line work was that Scott Williams probably embellished. You know, Jim Lee works fairly tight pencils, but, you know, to see the inked line work on the page, you know, in bigger than regular format. Obviously, this is not 8.5 by 14. It's not artboard size, but it's still larger than regular comic size. So you see a little bit more detail, and that's pretty much why I bought it. And I'm kind of contemplating never ever coloring this because I kind of like looking at the black and white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of like looking at the black and white art.
How much was it?
It is on the pricier side. It is.
I know, like, the Deadpool black, coloring book was, I think, $10.
This is 16.
Oh, okay.
This is 16, but yeah, I don't know if this is. I think this is 4 or 5 issues of Hush. But like I said, it's really, you know, it for me, it's more valuable as a study of the line art as opposed to something to color. But, you know, my opinions may be swayed, you know, later on down the line. Who knows? I get so bored, I'll start coloring it. But yeah, it's actually pretty cool. You know, if you get a chance to see this at your local shop, maybe you want to take a look at it.
Good deal.
Yep. All right. Clicks of the week time.
I have mine.
I think I got mine too. So I will go with probably the book I had the most fun reading this week, which was Spider-Man number 2. I see your pick, and your pick was, I think, a very close second.
Yours was a close second for me.
pretty much.
Added yours to the bottom of the
screen.
So I went with Avengers Standoff, Assault on Pleasant Hill Alpha.
Sure. I think you probably agree with me. I thought it was a pretty good setup.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it set up the conflict pretty well. And, altogether, I thought it was a well-put-together comic.
Yeah, both were good issues.
Yep. So that's cool. And hopefully next week we'll have Dirt tell us about his travels in the Sunshine State and what Hogwarts is like nowadays.
And what local comic shops he hit up.
Exactly.
All righty. So that is it for tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at CBCron. Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
Yeah.
And PCN Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. So once again, go to theclicknation.com. Sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
I want to start producing email marketing. Oh, and make sure to go on, subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher and give us 5-star reviews. All that cool stuff.
Absolutely. And make sure to go to the Cults of the Podcast Network
CSPN.us
and listen to some of our companion and brother and sister podcasts.
Yes, sir. And with that, we'll be back next week. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!
Shout out to Matt Wayne.
Yeah, Matt Wayne.